Hi, this is Caleb Cochran. Just a few notes before we get into this episode of Inside Wentworth. My guests today are Neil Kane, president of Libretto, and we'll find out more about Libretto and what they do in a few moments, and DJ Moore, who's the associate director of admissions communications here at Wentworth. To find out more about Libretto, visit libretto-inc, that's I-N-C, .com. To find out more about the Wentworth branding program, visit wit.edu/media. Also wanted to mention, when I ask the first question that you'll hear in a moment, the first voice you're going to hear answering is Neil Kane. I didn't really identify him before he started speaking, so that'll be Neil that you'll hear first. And the last thing I wanted to mention, what you're going to listen to right now is part one of a two-part podcast on branding and marketing. The second part will feature Cliff Stoltz of Stoltz Design. DJ and I will be speaking with Cliff about the visual side of the brand program and the design work that went into it. So enjoy this episode.
From Wentworth Institute of Technology in Boston, welcome to Inside Wentworth.
Welcome to another episode of Inside Wentworth. This is Caleb Cochran. I'm Director of Communication, Marketing, and Public Relations at Wentworth Institute of Technology in Boston. Today I'm here with Neil Kane, President of Libretto, and DJ Moore from the Wentworth Admissions Office, and we're going to talk a little bit about branding and marketing, particularly as it relates to colleges and universities, and specifically Wentworth. Neil was a great partner with us on the branding project at Wentworth. So guys, first of all, when we talk about brand, particularly in regard to colleges and universities, what are we talking about?
I would say the textbook definition is, that when you read these definitions, it usually relates to the sort of the sum of the perceptions that people have about you and the decisions that they make regarding your value, especially in relation to other brands. And it's typically expressed in a verbal dimension and a visual dimension that are somewhat discrete and somewhat overlapping and combined to hopefully constitute the overall institutional brand.
And DJ, from your perspective, from an admissions perspective, how do you use that work in everything that you do?
I mean, from an admissions perspective, we're the front line for the Institute doing the recruiting. So that overlap that Neil mentioned about the, you call it verbal?
And the verbal and the visual.
Yeah, the verbal and the visual is key for us. I mean, the publications, the social media outreach we have with prospective students, any aspect that we're going out on the road and saying, this is why you should come to Wentworth, is hopefully encapsulating that brand identity and the brand promise of what Wentworth offers.
And I think brand, it's also, in a way, about creating a vibe.
Yeah.
So that you have a certain look, you have a certain feeling, you're sending certain kind of stimuli out there that you hope will attract people who fit the profile of the institution, and also show your ongoing evolution. So all these notions of freshness and relevance are really important because the market evolves very rapidly.
Sure.
And so you can't use five-year-old assets and five-year-old messages and certainly not five-year-old photography to
right.
plug into this young, very media-savvy audience.
So you've been doing this stuff a while. How has this idea of brand, again, particularly in higher ed, changed in the last, say, 10 years or however far back you want to take it?
Well, I think people in education always have a certain degree of ambivalence around the term. And I think it's something that can appear nebulous. So in our work at Libretto, because we deal with the verbal dimension of brand, there's always something tangible that you can relate to. So you are about obviously creating feelings, but they're rooted in words and language and phrases
yeah.
and headlines and ideas. And I think in general, folks within higher ed, the resistance around the idea of brand has lessened, based largely just on the market realities that they are facing, which we can talk about.
Yeah.
But I think for us, it's about something that's really substantive and content-driven rather than what I would call purely sort of image-driven, because it's just, it's not the same kind of sell as a consumer product. It has some of those characteristics, but because it's such a specialized environment, I need to have a lot of sensitivity around things like, you know, does it have some degree of intellectual integrity and authenticity, as opposed to, you know, a lot of hype or a lot of slickness, which, as you know, many folks in academia are very, very suspicious of.
Sure. So I guess to back up, before we go too much deeper into it, why don't you talk a little bit, Neil, about the work that Libretto does and how you partner with, you know, how you're focused, as you said, more on the words and more on the verbal, and you partner with a visual agency at times, a specific one, Stoltz Design, a lot of times, which you did on the Wentworth project.
So our work in higher ed is, as I mentioned, it always has that verbal aspect to it, but it can extend from anything from, you know, a two-word phrase that was used to drive all of the 150th anniversary celebrations at MIT, which was inventional wisdom, which was their 150 observance, you know, down to four pages of content on the Wentworth website around diversity, mm-hmm. which is very dear to my heart because I wrote those pages. So you really need to address that entire continuum, and it has to happen within both the online and the print realm. And the online, of course, dimension has just really grown in significance hugely over the last 10 years. Part of our work also, because one of the things about the advent of digital platforms is that things used to be much more concentrated, typically in a series of print pieces. When you have the digital medium and you're sending out emails every day, you're communicating through all these different channels, and you have all these different messengers. So you have social media people within the institutions. They're not looking to an external firm to provide everything. So a lot of what we're doing is providing the framework and the blueprint for how institutions talk about themselves and collaborating with internal communications departments. Mm-hmm. So that I sometimes use the open parentheses metaphor, where you're not being really restrictive about you have to say everything according to the script, but you want to have some kind of a reference point. So we have a client, for example, who's developed a series of brand pillars around their mission, people, platforms, programs, and outcomes, mm-hmm. and success. So I was talking to that client a few weeks ago, and he was telling me, oh, what do you think of this idea? You know, we're going to do a series of issues of the magazine, and each issue is going to focus on a pillar. So all the primary editorial content in this one is going to be about our mission, and the next one is going to be about place and the campus. And, you know, my response is, this is exactly what you want to be doing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not constraining you in terms of how you talk about yourselves, but it's sort of saying, you know, if I have an editorial plan that I'm trying to figure out, one way I can organize that and be on brand and be on message is to say, okay, during the next year and a half, we're going to do a series of issues, and each one is going to focus on a pillar. And that way, that's advancing the agenda of the school,
yeah.
in an intentional way. So again, but it's not some kind of reinvention by an outsider. It's more like, how do we talk about ourselves and organize those conversations intentionally and authentically, and then make that our own through a word. I'm going to use a word that I actually have a lot of ambivalence about because you hear it all the time, through storytelling.
Yeah.
And storytelling. If you want to do another like installment on the storytelling phenomenon, we can. But the idea is that, you know, you validate these pillars and these ideas and these messages through the stories of the community that come out, especially those that highlight individuals who are change agents,
yeah,
and who are, you know, conducting themselves in a way that reflects where the institution is heading, as opposed to where it's been or how it's been perceived or past stereotypes or that, yeah, kind of thing.
So when I was in grad school and, you know, in the early 2000s, it was really the first time I heard someone refer to students as consumers.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I've heard it a lot. And you hear about, you know, people shopping for schools and things like that. So I guess this is a question for both of you. How do you find, have you found this phenomenon where students are really, you know, shopping for schools in the same way they're shopping for a car or, you know, for a bag or something like that, or is it different, and how so?
I would say I definitely find them shopping. In admissions, that's essentially what they're doing at college,
yeah,
fairs,
right,
at campus visits. But I don't, I kind of reject the idea of it as a consumer product.
Yeah.
I think it's much more of a process. The students have to be actively involved, and that's not only through the selection process of the college. They have to be involved in their education in their 4 years at Wentworth. And Wentworth is certainly not a school where a student can come in and be passive about their education and expect to, well, I'm paying tuition and this will be taken care of because I'm paying the tuition.
Right.
You have to get involved in your major, in your program. And it's, yeah, I don't like to think of it as a product. I mean, yeah, you buy a car, you have to keep up with repairs and everything else, but 5, 7 years, 10 years, you're onto a new car. Whereas, I mean, your education is constantly evolving for the rest of your life. And this, as an undergrad, you're laying the groundwork. But whether it's in your career, whether it's you go back for a graduate degree later on, or I found this when I started teaching. I mean, that was a new evolutionary step in my education, being on the other side of the desk, so to speak. So I don't like that idea as a product.
Yeah, I also think one of the challenges that we deal with every day is, to a large degree, institutions are all selling the same product, which is essentially opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I'm always trying to communicate to folks with widely varying degrees of success is this idea that, you know, I always say it's not about 4 words, it's about 1,000 touch points. So if you think of Wentworth and then you think of Berkeley, another client of ours, you know, people are getting degrees, they're living in Boston, they're hanging out with people, they're interacting with teachers. But when you look at the students, you look at the programs, you look at the campus, you look at the career trajectories, they're entirely different. So the challenge is, how do you get those true points of differentiation across in the most compressed way imaginable?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a challenge that's always kind of daunting, and it's never dull.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the process behind the Wentworth Brand Project, which I wasn't really around for, but you guys were. So Neil, from your perspective, I guess, to start, how did your team become involved? How did you work with the research,
yeah,
that was done? And then how did you come up with, the tagline that we have now,
yep,
innovation in the making, the 5 factors of career success? And you can talk a little bit about that maybe.
Yeah.
Just that whole kind of process.
So with Wentworth, it was interesting because there are certain aspects of the engagement that were actually quite serendipitous. So before Stoltz and Libretto were hired, Wentworth had done research with an external research firm. And they had actually come up with these 5 pillars.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some supporting language around them, but relatively little.
Mm-hmm.
And so early on, we realized that they were viable. And then we kind of repositioned them as 5 factors,
yeah,
which felt more like, they were points that could be factored into a decision-making process.
Mm-hmm.
So they felt a little more customer-facing. And what was interesting about Wentworth was the school decided to make them very customer-facing. So and this is partly, you know, the brilliance of Stoltz is that when you look at the logo and that stylized W,
right,
it has five segments which totally harken back to the five factors. And then the innovation in the making phrase was something that we had originally thought of to use in the context of the view book, which is, you know, the sort of primary admissions publication.
Yeah.
And because it related, it was interesting because it derived from one of the pillars. And after we introduced it in the conversation, it was one of those things that just happily gained incredible traction, because the idea of making, which is always a part of engineering-related schools that have this kind of laboratory and, you know, building stuff and testing stuff, and the innovation dimension has to do with things like, you know, incubator spaces and entrepreneurship programs. And I think Wentworth had, as you both know, the kind of the technical school hangover in a way. So when you frame that front level message around innovation, it's a phrase you certainly that's in the water, but it's really making the school forward looking in a way that it hadn't been before. And it also says that innovation is not an abstract principle. It's something that's about this kind of fabrication. We've done a lot of work with MIT,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, their Mens et Manus, which is mind and hand. So, you know, again, what's always interesting is, you know, Wentworth does not have the same story to tell as MIT, and you can't just sort of Xerox your ideas and say, oh, well, this worked here, it'll work there. But with Wentworth, I think you get that idea of the intellectual and the practical and the physical combined in a phrase that, again, felt like something that was true to that institution, mm-hmm. and not just a knockoff of somebody else's idea. And we often, when we talk about these kinds of phrases, we often talk about, we use the prow of a ship analogy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a conversation starter. It's the first thing maybe people will see in certain contexts, but there's a whole story that flows out from that. It's not the whole story, but it has to start the conversation that you want to start. And so I'm assuming, you know, DJ, at this point, if you had someone, you know, a prospect come in and say, why do you have this phrase innovation in the making? Hopefully there'd be kind of a story that you'd be able to spin off of that.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what I love about the tagline is I think it's totally layered with, I mean, the majors we have all point towards innovation. So the innovation in the making are the students learning their programs and going on to these careers in these fields and hopefully innovating these fields. But I also look at it as the student themselves innovating their education, going back to the education theme I was talking about earlier. And I've always looked at that tagline as working in numerous ways. And so that's how I always explain it when they ask about that, or I think any of the factors easily lend themselves to an explanation.
Yeah, take us through the five factors just for the listeners who aren't familiar with them, TJ. So what are the five factors and how do you use them?
So the five factors of career success are focused academics, cooperative learning, innovation and entrepreneurship, collaboration and partnerships, and ideal location. And these are really used together as Wentworth's brand promise for career success. These are the five factors throughout an education at Wentworth that we feel come together to give the students the success in their careers that Wentworth is known for, I think. When you look at 98% of last year's class from the survey had a full-time job or were in grad school within 6 months of graduating Wentworth. I mean, that's a serious statistic.
Right.
And just to get all kind of word nerd for a minute, what's interesting about that is they're articulated as factors of career success, and that which immediately says huge focus on outcomes, huge focus on jobs, which is a huge focus for the people making these kinds of investments. And jobs, in a weird way, connects back to the history as sort of a technical institute.
Yeah.
So it's almost like that pedigree that which was somewhat vocational, I mean, in a totally good way, but it's taken into this realm of innovation and career, which is different from job, because it's about hard skills, right? Quantitative skills, but also something really important to folks these days, soft skills around communication, creativity, you know, collaboration, problem solving, not just, you know, blueprints and soldering, right? It's also this other stuff too. And that really has become a greater focus for Wentworth over the last 10 or 15 years. And it's totally reflected in the success and growth of the school.
Yeah. So DJ, we don't do a lot of traditional, you know, kind of advertising, but how are we using the five factors, and how are you using really the brand messaging in general? Let's talk about that a little bit.
Sure. I mean, the five factors, as I mentioned, are the brand promise. So it's throughout any of our print outreach, our digital outreach, our social media, we try and tie everything back to those five factors. So if you look through our view book, it goes through page by page, highlighting each factor. And if you look at the digital view book, it features five videos that kind of intertwine the five factors throughout those five videos, giving you an overview, I think, of each factor, but also how they work together for that career success outcome. This past summer, we just did a social media campaign where we did hashtag five factors of career success, and each week we would highlight a different factor, and we did it from the first set. We went through the five factors, and we did it from the point of view of a student each week, and then the next second part of the campaign, we went through and did it from the point of view of a faculty or staff member on campus, and it just, given those different points of view on what each factor means, given your space on campus, your place on campus.
And I think part of what DJ's talking about is illustrative of what we were saying before about this whole idea of sort of the disaggregation of messaging through digital media.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to have something that you can use to give some coherence to your social media efforts. And video, so storytelling, I mean, in my views, a lot of this whole storytelling sort of craze is really about the availability of relatively inexpensive video production.
Yeah.
And video stories, I mean, in our world now, for example, when we do view books, we almost never just do student profiles, because a print profile compared to a well-produced video profile, there's just no comparison in terms of, again, the authenticity, the amount of nuance that you can get in there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a video is not a communication strategy. A set of video assets that are synchronized with what you're doing around these pillars, which is what you really care about. You have made this commitment to care about these things as a school. Then that just furthers your ability to create that unified and hopefully differentiated message.
Yeah. So DJ, when you're out on the road, or even when you're on campus talking with prospective students and families, you know, how are these five factors resonating, and are there some of them that people seem more interested in? Are they even really aware that we're using this in this explicit way, you know, five factors of career success, or does it come up more organically, or just talk a little bit about all that?
Sure. I think I'll tackle the second part first, actually. I think with just the history of Wentworth, some of the factors do just tend to come up more naturally.
Yeah.
The focused academics, the co-op, and the ideal location, those are aspects that have been part of our recruitment for as long as I've been at Wentworth.
Mm-hmm.
But the other two factors, innovation and entrepreneurship and collaboration and partnerships, I think help come in and reinforce those other three. And the five factors do all work together. And that's where Neil and his team and Stoltz Design, Neil mentioned authenticity and truth a couple times earlier. And I think that was key, is getting to the truth of these five factors and how they represent Wentworth. And as I was saying, that's where Neil and his team were key in helping us flesh that out and really identifying how these fit into Wentworth, how they define Wentworth. So, yeah, I mean, the focused academics is something that, given how focused each major is at Wentworth, that's something that has just been inherent in Wentworth education.
Sure.
But this, the epic learning, externally collaborative, project-based, interdisciplinary culture, that's a somewhat new focus that Wentworth has in the last few years, that it really not only focuses on the students within their major, but it's allowing students to work together across campus throughout different majors, throughout different programs on campus.
And I think when you see these phrases as phrases, you don't necessarily think, wow, that's revolutionary language. But when DJ describes that, and this is something I'd never even thought of, you know, three of the factors are about the core traditional offering, and the collaboration partnerships and innovation entrepreneurship are much more about the frontier.
Yeah.
So again, 15 years ago, would you have said, oh, Wentworth students are entrepreneurial, or it's an entrepreneurial environment? Probably not. But I think this is sort of saying, these are the areas where we're evolving the culture, because as we said before, you know, how important is collaboration in a 21st century context?
Yeah.
It's huge. It's where all the innovation is happening. So, you know, again, there's definitely a method to this, because you're interweaving the stuff that you've always done in a sense, and then sort of saying, this is where the institution is pushing the envelope, but all these factors together form a cohesive whole.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it looks very kind of tossed off, but there's a huge amount of a word I don't love, intentionality, behind the fact that it's these things and they're positioned to coexist in these ways. It's not random at all.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as resonating with students and families, so this is, we're going to the third year of this with the five factors and this overall brand identity. And I think right from the start, right from the launch, we saw it resonating with families. Just having, at least from Wentworth's point of view, we never really had something packaged like this, where you can see the result, where we're selling the result, and selling in quotations.
Yeah, yeah.
But and I think when you're talking to families and you're explaining how these factors, as Neil was just saying, work together to form that cohesive whole, it's, you know, any school in Boston could say, well, Boston's an ideal location for us.
Mm-hmm.
But what makes the ideal location a unique factor for Wentworth is that Wentworth is using the city as a classroom.
Yeah.
If you're on co-op, you could be doing any number of co-ops in Boston. A lot of the programs go out and have a class day in the city, architecture of Boston,
right.
Engineering with, or construction management with all the numerous construction projects going on campus, in the city. So the city is really used as a classroom for a number of our programs. So that's what, at least with that factor, that's what really is unique for Wentworth, I feel.
Yeah. And from a competitive stance, you know, if you think of two schools I know that are in the competitive set, WPI and Lowell,
mm-hmm.
you know, that the Boston location is a huge part of the advantage and the selling point for many of those families. And remember, vis-a-vis, for example, public institutions, you have to make a really solid case for the return on the investment, because basically, I mentioned the cost factor before, as everybody knows, you know, the cost of higher education has so far outstripped inflation that the purchase becomes more and more expensive, and the urgency around the rationale for the expense has grown proportionally. So I think that's why schools are just so much more focused on, you know, how they talk about themselves. And you know, our website says we help organizations articulate what they do, believe, and hope to achieve. And you know, it's really, really important. And this is something we experience, you know, with college presidents and senior administrators. It's really, really vital that schools know you know, what their sweet spot is, what's appealing to the marketplace, how they're articulating the ways in which they're remaining relevant. Those things are all huge because, you know, the competitive pressures among private institutions of a certain size are only going to grow. So yeah. There's not a lot of ambivalence at this point among institutions around making these kinds of investments.
How have you found that, DJ? Just since now that you have, you know, have these clearly articulated, you know, brand points versus when you first started at Wentworth. Maybe you can talk a little bit about how long you've been here and that kind of thing. But is it easier now to kind of when you're making that pitch to families to who might be looking at some of our competitors? You know, just talk about how those conversations go now versus before you had this, you know, these clearly articulated points to,
sure.
to refer to.
I've been at Wentworth almost 13 years now. So it was kind of the dark ages of admissions recruitment before when I started. Because I mean, the way it's changed in that time is really due to technology.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just communication, the application process, technology's changed all of that drastically. And social media, just being able to communicate with a student or a student's family. But as far as the five factors go, in terms of recruitment with sending the counselors out on the road to college fairs and high school visits, we used co-op a lot, and that was the major selling point
yeah.
prior to the five factors.
Yeah.
And other than that, it was tough because you were balancing 17 to 19 different programs. You kind of had to know quite a bit about each program to talk about the individual programs we offer. And there wasn't, like I referred to it before, as a package.
Yeah.
There wasn't that brand promise there. It was, you know, co-op was the selling point.
Mm-hmm.
So having these five factors detailed, and the counselors can speak about each individual factor. They can talk about how the factors all combine to give that career success or to give that student the career success.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that I noticed just in the time I've been there, where once we introduced this, the counselors seemed a lot more confident about going out on the road and talking to families. And, you know, they weren't as worried about getting caught off guard with,
yeah.
with a question
mm-hmm.
about an individual program that
yeah.
they may not be able to answer, because you have, I don't want to say to fall back on the five factors, but that really became the forefront of our recruitment. And,
mm-hmm.
As I said before, with what Neil and his team did with giving us, I think, the truth to each of these factors and how they reflect not only what the students will be doing in their program, but the history of Wentworth as well. I think that was something that I certainly wasn't expecting from this, but it really did bring in kind of a historical perspective throughout my time there.
Yeah.
In seeing the career success of our students and the aspects of these five factors that I didn't even realize were part of the Wentworth education.
And I would guess, I wasn't there for that original research,
yeah.
but I would guess that previously, if Wentworth tried to lead with co-op, the problem there is you're about 250 yards away from probably the one institution in the world that is more synonymous with co-op than any other, namely
yeah.
Northeastern. So this is almost like it's an alternative strategy where instead of, you know, trying to be the David to Northeastern's Goliath, no, you say, no, it's actually, it's like the story is partly about co-op, but it's much bigger, and it's about this range of things,
yeah.
which immediately takes you away from sort of the odious comparisons or being lumped in with a school whose profile is very, very different from yours.
Yeah.
And actually, I think in a weird way, it probably sells co-op better because it's not, you know, that's not the whole story. There's
right.
there's a lot of other really interesting facets to the school. And P.S., there's co-op as well, which is, you know, a great job placement strategy and a great hands-on learning thing, and it's experiential, but it's not the whole shoot match.
Yeah. So, Neil, since you did this initial project, you worked on some, I don't know if you want to call them mini campaigns or, mm-hmm. or what for Wentworth, including the library, the campaign mm-hmm. we did for the library, and then also including the some of the content for the website relaunch. So tell me a little bit about how working on that initial larger brand project kind of informed the writing and the development of some of the things that came after.
Yeah, so our firm is somewhat specialized in that we do a lot of work with schools on the messaging dimension of things, which I always characterize as coming up with that sort of internal framework and the playbook for the communication. Yeah. So it's really like, it's almost like a sports playbook where you have, you know, the X's and O's are kind of the marching orders, but they're not the play. They're not the actual sort of event. I mean, it's really, we love it when we can work at both that conceptual part of dimension of message and then the actual execution of stuff, because we have an intuitive sense of what's going to be on message and what's going to be off message. Yeah. And I think, well, part of it is also, so, you know, the for Wentworth, I think it was over 100 web pages. So because we have multiple writers here who are used to writing at a very high level, it's interesting because people think of writers as sort of lone wolves, and our model is actually pretty collaborative and it's iterative, and we do things in batches, and we show stuff earlier and sooner to clients to get the feedback. And it's a really interesting process that way, because people think of writing as so solitary. But I think over time you just get this kind of intuitive sense of the voice, and at a place like Wentworth, it's conversational, it's unpretentious, it's a weird word, it's sort of like it's a very good natured place.
Mm-hmm.
Even weird things, like it's a place that skews masculine but doesn't want to be nerdy, or certainly, you know, wants to be incredibly open to women and to be an inclusive community. I always love working at institutions where there are a lot of kids who are not to the manor born, because I feel like that, you know, in some ways the opportunity message there is more authentic than what you see at a lot of elite institutions. And that, of course, that comes across in the kids that you deal with too.
Yeah.
So I think what we've tried to do is give the, it's almost in some ways to improve the institution's self-image,
mm-hmm.
and to celebrate the things that it's always done well, but sort of say, oh, you know, we're a serious player when it comes to producing architects. You know, again, it's not like, you know, that it's dispelling the myths about, like, again, that sort of like voc tech image.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, there's fantastic things about like a vocational orientation. And when you're doing that in an incubator focused on launching a new company or, you know, some kind of a prosthetic limb, like that's really different from the kind of more blue-collar image I think the school used to have.
Yeah.
And it's almost like taking those bedrock qualities that are really, really positive and solid and about, success and job and career, and then sort of saying, yeah, and we play in a sophisticated technological and engineering space too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's keeping those best qualities and then making them relevant, again, in a contemporary kind of context.
Yeah. So I guess the last question I have, and this is more for DJ, but certainly Neil too, feel free to chime in on this, but it's sometimes difficult to gauge success when it comes to branding. And so how, DJ, from your perspective, are we as Wentworth doing that, and how will we do that in the future?
I think for us, it's seeing that engagement and seeing that interest. You know, if I don't cover a lot of college fairs, but when I'm at one, especially in the early days of the five factors, just seeing a student almost walk by the Wentworth table, and then something about the publications, the banner, something there catches their eye, and they come over and they ask about the W, or they ask about the five factors, and, oh, you have engineering. I didn't even know you offered engineering. And then just continuing that conversation and finding out more about the student, what interests them, and hopefully engaging that student to apply and become a part of the Wentworth community. And I've seen that happen numerous times over the years, especially in the last 2 years with as I said, with this new brand identity.
Yeah.
And it's something that speaks to the visual aspect, which I think we'll probably get into in a future episode.
Yeah, we're going to be talking to Cliff Stoltz for part two of this, so that'll be fun.
But it's and that then continues throughout our process, sending follow-up emails and the social media, and just having all of that match, for lack of a better term, and all be under the Wentworth identity and what's become known as the Wentworth identity. And, you know, in the last 2 years, we've seen an increase in applications. So I think that's one aspect that points to
yeah, absolutely,
we're doing something right with this identity.
I would add to that, because when we're pitching, the whole, again, the return on investment question comes up.
Yeah.
And you know, we love to have the quantifiable data around things like increases in applications or increases in donations. I mean, a lot of times we do a lot of campaign work, and you know, if someone meets or goes over their campaign goal, there's an inherent sort of validation of what we do in that. But I think on the far side of it, if you asked a lot of our clients and you were to say, you know, do you have a more coherent story than you had before, and is that of use to you? I think, you know, the vast, vast majority of them would say yes. And there's something about having that playbook that just makes you proceed with more confidence as an institution. I think also for us, one of the great things about Wentworth is it's an institution at a scale that is really, really good for us. So, you know, we're a small communications firm. We sometimes talk about ourselves as almost like a boutique firm.
Mm-hmm.
With an institution of a certain size, we can deal with their both revenue streams around recruitment and fundraising. And we've done work in both areas at Wentworth. And I think that's really mutually beneficial, because we can use our institutional knowledge to benefit both of those areas, which are very strategic and very essential. And you can really see positive steps and effects. I mean, because the school has also made, which you'll probably do another podcast, but like great strides philanthropically in the last couple of years. And, you know, that's incredibly gratifying for us to be able to really affect change that covers a good portion of the overall institutional landscape. And I think the other part of it is that and I think this is probably just a cultural thing, but it's funny, some of you also went into MIT. Wentworth is very trusting, and they give inputs, and then they have expectations, and then they say, now you use your expertise and sort of let it rip. And I think also, I know you talked to Cliff, but working with Stoltz, everything we do with Stoltz is a portfolio project.
Yeah.
So we know that the imaginative language is going to just have incredible visual execution, and that is a real, I think having very high-end assets both in that visual and the verbal realm that we talked about earlier play a huge role in making this kind of an initiative successful overall for an institution.
Yeah. Good. I think that's a great place to leave it, because we'll be talking to Cliff Stoltz from Stoltz Design next time. DJ and I will be talking to Cliff. And in the meantime, I think we'll eat some of these delicious chocolate chip cookies on Neil's desk. And thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Inside Wentworth. To learn more about Wentworth and read our latest news and feature stories, visit us online at www.wit.edu.